been looking forward to this for a number of days. John Musgrave, my professional news radio WJPF historian. How are you, John?
I'm doing good.
John reached out to me and he said there's an interesting event, and it'll be 100 years ago this weekend. But before we get to that part, John, we need to go back. I believe it was August, the 1st of August, when two guys decide to go squirrel hunting.
Yes. On August 3rd, a guy left Royalton and went south. He went squirrel hunting in the woods, and while he was in the woods, he discovered fresh graves. He went back home, got a deputy. The next day, they came out. They found the body of Amel Calcaterra, who was a 16-year-old Italian youth from West Frankfort. By the time they started doing the inquest, the deputies found and search parties found a second burial with 19-year-old Tony Hemphill, also of West Frankfort. Meanwhile, the Marion Daily Republican had contacted their counterpart at the Daily American in West Frankfort, and they realized two teenagers had been kidnapped, or one teenager, Calcaterra, had been kidnapped a couple days earlier, and the brother of the victim had already sworn out an arrest warrant. So Sedamit DeSantis was already in custody by the time they found the bodies for kidnapping. The paper told the brother went to Royalton, was able to identify the bodies, and all of a sudden authorities realized they had a murder case on their hands.
All right. Now, the idea, John, the idea being here that this original murder was romance-inspired, so to speak, an argument over a woman, is that correct?
That's part of it. Frank Bianco was the other Sicilian involved in this. He and the victim's sister and her husband had both boarded at the same rooming house out in eastern Ohio in a community called Shadyside, right across the river from West Virginia. Bianco, who may have been a member of the Black Hand, certainly was very strange and very very dangerous in an occult-like fashion, let's put it that way.
All right, so if the Black Hand is
not just completely crazy. Wanted the older sister who was married to marry him. And then later on, when she said no, he was focused on the younger sister. And he's up in his 40s and they're teenagers, 20, give or take a couple years. So he hires DeSantis, supposedly, to kill the kids. But before they kill Calcaterra, they get him to write a letter to his mother saying that his sister should divorce and then marry Frank Bianco.
Yikes.
The other rumor that was spread at the time that may have had something else to do with it is that when Amel had spent some time out in Ohio earlier on, he had overheard or discovered some of these Black Hand activities, and he was being killed to silence him. And his friend, Hemphill, he just happened to be there. DeSantis had found him at the post office in West Frankfort and told him he needed to come to Royalton to look at a car. He wouldn't go unless his friend went. Well, that pretty much meant the friend was going to die as well. But it was a crazy murder. They both admitted to it, but their confessions pretty much blamed the other person. But looking at the testimony, both kids were shot in the head. Both kids had their necks slit. And then they were repeatedly stabbed in the arms and everything. So it was when they referred to mutilated bodies, because during the inquest, I guess the bodies was laid out and there was some public viewing of that in Royalton. I found an account where at least one 12-year-old kid remembered seeing the naked bodies laying out and the gruesomeness.
Right,
of the scene.
Was that when they were laid out in the alley?
No, this would have been the victims. The inquest took place there on the site, or may have actually been moved into a building in Royalton. It's not completely clear. Because it's strange, because Royalton isn't in Williamson County, and they actually had to verify. The sheriff, a few weeks later, took a surveyor up there just to confirm that the murder scene was in Williamson County. Because they found the bloody knife up there, they found blood stains, and other evidence right there where the burials were, which was about 200 yards inside the county line.
All right,
so about a mile and a half south of Royalton.
All right, so you've got you just heard John mention that Sicilian, La Cosa Nostra, the Black Hand, right? Yes. Which we may have heard about from movies. Now, these two people have been accused of this murder. They're in jail. A group goes to the jail and says, we want to talk to them. We want to ask questions. The two inmates, the two people accused of this murder, kind of shuffled off. And I guess the rumor mill really gets underway at this point of this, as this has progressed.
I mean,
from
this
August.
Murder was on Monday. DeSantis was arrested on Tuesday. The body wasn't found until Wednesday in the inquest. And that's when they first started realizing they had a murder scene. Bianco and his son had already gone back to Ohio. But since DeSantis was already in custody there in the city jail at West Frankfort, the mob came for him there. Authorities there got, when a Williamson County deputy sheriff, they got him moved to Marion. Deputy Schaefer found out about 15 minutes before the mob was heading for what's now the county jail museum, got him out of that jail, headed to Harrisburg, but they may have gone someplace else, because once the mob got to Marion and searched the jail, they split up, some going to Harrisburg, some going to Murfreesboro. But the Williamson County deputy sheriffs kept DeSantis safe, and then by Friday, Bianco had been arrested with his son out in Columbus, Ohio, and then brought back. He had made the mistake of sending a telegraph to DeSantis while DeSantis was already in jail. So the telegraph office had notified police. Police put everything together, and they knew. And since the family knew about Calcaterra, they didn't know DeSantis. What's interesting, and it's one of the things that backs up the Black Hand story, is that the Calcaterra, that particular Calcaterra family, had lived a few years earlier in Willisville, which is in western Perry County, which was a very rough mining town. And they had shootouts on the street with the Black Hand, and the Black Hand had been, they had targeted the priest, who later was the priest in Heron during all of this. And in fact, they lived next door, I think, to someone who was a suspect.
All right, so
2 years later in Johnson City in West Frankfort. So it's like they were very close, but it's just. And
John, we're getting ready to run out. We're getting ready to run out of time here, buddy. We need to move to the part that happened a year ago this weekend. The rumors, now, because the rumors and the reporting are really something else, because this headed to eventually, as you talked about, they chased him from town to town looking for these two people. But it actually became something more, and a riot broke out 100 years ago this weekend.
Well, that was in August, about 3 years, over three nights, a mob of up to 5,000 people. They brought in over 700 troops trying to quell the mob. Anywhere from a dozen to 50 people were injured. One Italian was killed. During the rioting, which is known as the West Frankfort riots, eventually that got put aside, and then the murder trial started on December 6th. So that would be a week from Sunday, which ironically was the state's attorney Dallas Duty's first day on the job. He started a double murder trial, and by day four, Bianco hung himself in the jail. They didn't tell the jury. That was on a Thursday night, Friday morning. The trial ended, or arguments ended on Saturday, and on Sunday, the jury came back with a guilty verdict and a verdict of which eventually led to DeSantis's hanging on February 11th, 1921.
All right, and so it was his body that was displayed in Paradise Alley.
Yeah, actually, at the end of it needed to be Alley and Madison Street. And what's interesting, that alley there on the east side of the square, or excuse me, the south side of the square, had a different name on early maps. And by the mid 20s, that alley from the current jail museum, which was then the current jail, on the west side, to what was the parking lot for Poli Chi and the restaurants that were there behind John Brown's on the square, that was the older jail location, and that's where the hanging took place. That alley became known as Paradise Alley, and I'm wondering if it's because of the hangings that took place there. There had been two hangings of two youths in 1903 in the jail yard, and then the DeSantis hanging in 21. They did not lay out the bodies for viewing after 1903, and there was a rumor that one of them came back to life or wasn't completely dead. So I think that was one of the reasons why they allowed 1 hour of public viewing there at the intersection of the alley and Madison Street, which is next to the post office.
Now, the initial reports had a death toll of 7 to 5, and it said 50 homes were destroyed and set ablaze. Those numbers were wrong.
They were exaggerated. One of the problems was there were so many people available to riot because there was a gold mine strike, or the mines were closed. Generally, a lot of mines would be closed anyway in the summertime. So a lot of people were out of work and idle. But also the telephone company had a strike going on, so no one could use the telephone. The paper said it took basically 24 hours just to send a message out by telegram from West Frankfort to Marion. That was one of the reasons why so much of the news coverage got blown out of proportion, because there was just too many things. But that's,
well, I thought they cut the, didn't they cut the telegraph lines too?
No, they, but it was just the telegraph, you know, it's one message at a time.
Right.
So like, imagine if everybody only had one email address for the whole town.
Why did this guy beat Carrera, who was killed in the mob? Why was he drug out of his home and beat to death by a mob?
Well, and that's what the mob was thinking. A lot of this was connected to the Black Hand. And the Black Hand was known for sending out extortion letters and violence. And their idea of violence was cutting people's throats and blowing up homes. And it's kind of forgotten about, considering all the other stuff that happened in the 1920s. And that's probably what fascinated me when I first heard about this. It's like, how did I not know about this? Because this would have been such a big part of some community's history. But when you compare it to the Heron Massacre, which is 16 months later, when you compare it to the Klan War and the Gang War and Charlie Berger and the Sheltons and armored cars and all the stuff that took place over the next few years. I mean, the newspaper a few days after the hanging is talking about all of the bloody vendetta 50 years earlier, the other hangings and murders, and they're hoping this would be the end of it. And it's like, no, it's just beginning.
Just beginning. John Musgrave, the historian who joined us this morning, the riots and race riots 100 years ago, West Frankfort.